New York. Where's that?
Right.
And I say, well, it's a little village of about 1,500 people between Catskill and Coxsackie on the Hudson River. Where's that?
My name is Rip Van Wagner from the lovely village of Catskill, and you're listening to WGXC ACRA, Catskill and More, 90.7 FM.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at wgxc.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org/donate now.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Mid-Hudson Cable, serving Columbia, Greene, and Southern Albany counties with digital cable, high-speed internet, and cable phone services for homes and businesses since 1971. Mid-Hudson Cable. All the right connections on the web at mhcable.com.
This is Tom Rowe with the WGXC Week in Local News. The biggest stories from the past week in the Hudson Valley and Capital Region. With a Democratic majority in both legislative chambers and Democrat Andrew Cuomo reelected for a third term as governor, Albany continued to be a whirlwind of activity in its second week in session. Joseph Spector reported for lowhudson.com that under new legislation approved by state lawmakers January 23rd, teacher evaluations would no longer be linked to student test scores. The bill eliminates the requirement that schools use test scores as part of a teacher's evaluation. Rick Carlin reported in the Albany Times-Union that Assembly Democratic Majority Speaker Carl Hastie said January 23rd, quote, "Today we will pass the DREAM Act for the ninth and final time," unquote. So the bill got swift passage in both chambers this year and will soon allow an estimated 6,000 undocumented immigrant students statewide to be eligible for state scholarships such as the Tuition Assistance Program. David Klepper of the Associated Press reported in the Daily Freeman that New York State passed a new abortion rights law January 22nd, an effort to protect women's rights in the face of a possible Supreme Court ruling overturning the Roe v. Wade decision. The state Senate and Assembly passed the Reproductive Health Act. Governor Andrew Cuomo signed it into law on the 46th anniversary of the Roe v. Wade decision. The bill replaces a 1970 state abortion law that only permitted abortions after 24 weeks of pregnancy if a woman's life was at risk. Physician assistants can also perform abortions now under this new law. Greene County reported that the Catskill boil water advisory was lifted as of Friday, January 25th. Two water main breaks in the past week in the village of Catskill left many homes and businesses without water, and some with a discolored liquid coming out of their faucets. The water main breaks came just after a large snowstorm, and then below zero temperatures exhausted highway department workers there. Diane Pinero Zucker is reporting for the Daily Freeman that Democrat Joel Tiner has now formally resigned his seat as a Dutchess County legislator after a significant number of women came forward this week with allegations of sexual harassment. Tiner has vehemently denied the charges, telling Pinero Zucker, quote, "I'm not spawned from the loins of Lucifer. What's going on here? It's just a party at this point, just a feeding frenzy. Pile on," unquote. Dutchess County legislator Chairman Greg Pulver, a Republican representing Pine Plains on January 24th, called on Tiner to formalize his resignation, citing what he said were credible allegations of decades-long sexual harassment of women by the veteran politician. Previously, Pulver said he would need to know the allegations against Tiner were credible before calling for him to step down. Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro also called on Tiner to resign. Quote, "These allegations must be investigated to get to the truth. These are serious issues, and the women speaking out deserve to be heard," unquote, Molinaro said in a prepared statement. Tyner represented the towns of Rhinebeck and Clinton, and he is one of the longest-serving members of the county legislature, having first been elected in 2003. This has been Tom Rowe with the Week in Local News for WGXC. Go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you heard here.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. Listener-supported hands-on radio for Greene and Columbia counties. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Amelia. I'm a student at Hudson High School, and I'm also from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate.
Books we love and love and love and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to do today, talk about some books. And I know Amelia just finished up a book she's been reading.
Oh, yeah. Slender Man by Anonymous, as it says on Goodreads, apparently.
I really want to know who wrote it.
I know. I want to also. It was actually better than I thought it was going to be. The ending was pretty good. Still don't know who it's by. I have tried to look for it, but I have no idea.
So for those who don't know about Slender Man, can you introduce our listeners to
it? I think very, very earliest, like, thing of him showed up in a Photoshop contest on the Something Awful forums, which it actually talks about in the book. So the book is written as if it's, like, as if even in the book's universe, it's just an internet urban legend. It doesn't really go into the actual, like, real-life origins of the Photoshop contest and everything. It's cool. It's hard to describe because it has so many different mediums of, like, reading it. Like, there's some excerpts that are, like, emails and some portions of the book that are written as if it's a text message, which I think is really cool, and I love it when books, like, flip between writing styles like that.
Whose perspective is the book from?
The book is from the perspective of the main character, whose name is Matt Barker, whose friend Lauren has gone missing, and he's trying to figure out what happened to her.
And Slender Man might be involved?
Yeah.
No.
It might. It's the title of the book. It might.
Just a guess. I'm so wise. So what is the deal with Slender Man? Like, what do we know about him?
Absolutely nothing.
Is he a man? Is he a
being? I don't know.
We don't know. We know he's slender.
We never figure it out. Not in the book. Not in the original, like, Photoshop contest either.
What was the Photoshop contest?
This forum that dealt with, like, horror stuff held a scary Photoshop contest where you could, like, Photoshop a creature or something, and that was the winner. Those photographs were the winners, and that's pretty much where it popped up for the first time.
Of Slender Man.
Yeah.
What does Slender Man look like?
It's just a tall guy in a suit with no face.
pleasant.
I can finally move on to reading a new book now. Cool. Which just makes a fire, of course, because I got the newest one.
And that's one of your ongoing.
Those are my favorite.
And for those listening who have not heard of Wings of Fire, it's a
I talk about it a lot.
Dragons and very few other creatures. Like, unlike other fantasy books where dragons are all
like the main characters instead of it being like a human and a dragon tamer, a dragon rider. Mm-hmm. It's just all dragons.
The dragons
makes me
get
very
to
happy.
Take center stage.
Yeah, it makes me so happy.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
I love dragons.
I still haven't read those yet. I did read a book recently called Dragons in a Bag, where there's little teeny tiny dragons in a bag.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah, they're pretty cute. That's by Zeta Elliott. It's a fun book. It's a short. It's like sort of an easier and middle grade read.
Ooh.
And set in the city. So, that's fun.
Dragons in the city.
They eventually go off to other worlds, but it starts off in, like, the real world.
Yeah.
So, I have a very different book to talk about today that I read recently. It's a book called Ivy Aberdeen's Letter to the World by Ashley Herring Blake. And it is a sort of contemporary fiction book, middle grade, that's about a young woman, 12-year-old named Ivy Aberdeen, who at the start of the book, her house is destroyed by a tornado. And luckily, her family makes it through all right. She's one of three children and her two parents. But it sort of displaces them and, like, they've lost everything, basically, except a few things that they brought with them when they went into shelter. So she and her family have been displaced. They're living in a shelter at the start. And the one treasured item that she has with her, aside from a pillow, is her notebook, where she, it's sort of like a diary, but she draws images. She's an artist.
Ooh.
And a lot of her pictures recently have been of two girls holding hands. And she's not sure what these mean. She's sort of wondering if it means something about herself, but because of her relationship with her sister and an interaction she oversaw her sister and her sister's best friend having, she's worried about if the drawings mean what she thinks they might mean, how her family will react to that. And the journal goes missing, and then somebody starts leaving pictures from the journal in her locker and telling her she should open up. And so it's sort of like this mystery about, like, who took the journal. She also has, like, a new friend that she meets named June, who she starts to develop some feelings for, and she's kind of wondering if maybe that's June who took her journal and is having these messages sent to her. So it's an interesting mix of, like, her dealing with what's going on with her family, the loss of her home, you know, coming to terms with what these drawings might mean for her.
Yeah. That's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah. It's a lot. But it's a really nice book, and I highly suggest it. And then I've been reading a lot of picture books and some adult nonfiction as well. I read a really cute picture book called Star Wars, or it's called Are You Scared, Darth Vader? It's from a Star Wars series.
Oh.
And it's basically just people asking Darth Vader if he's, or the narrator's asking Darth Vader if he's scared of blank. Are you scared of this? Are you scared
of that? Funny. That's funny.
And
cute.
Eventually they find something that Darth Vader's scared of. But it's really funny and comical. And
I need to find that.
Yeah.
I might buy that for my little cousin, because she's getting that age where we bought this picture book for my little cousin, who is 3, I think, as of this year. She's not 3 yet, but she's going to be 3 pretty soon, February, I think. We got her this book called Elbow Grease about a monster, an electric monster truck, written by John Cena, so we just had to get it for her. it was just necessary at that point.
Was it all you dreamed it would be? Did you get to read it?
Yeah, my dad read it to her, and I was sitting next to her while we were reading it to her, and yes, it was amazing. I don't know why I loved it so much. It was just the novelty of it being about a little monster truck that was, like, electric, and it was written by John Cena. It was the whole package that made me a, like, 17-year-old, 16-year-old at that time, just really into this picture book for 2 to 4-year-olds. That it was just very funny.
Yeah, I think I'm in the minority of people who are not children who read picture books that don't have children themselves or aren't children's librarians.
I still have all my I Spy books, to be fair.
They're so good.
I broke out some of my I Spy books for my other little cousin, Logan, a couple weeks ago, and I forgot how, like, actually frustrating they can be. Like, my little cousin's sitting here pointing out all these things, like, all the big things, and I'm sitting here just like, where is that button? I cannot find the button. And you find it, and it's, like, definitely in a place where, like, you'd have to look for a good while to find it. I don't know how, like, little kids ever enjoyed these, but I love them because they're very aesthetically pleasing. Because the old ones, they're like whole sets that they build and then photograph, and it's really cool.
Yeah, those are fun. I feel like they do make some that are meant for littler kids that, as an adult, when you read them, you're like, this is kind of obvious.
Yeah.
But I've seen some of the ones that you're talking about where it's a little trickier to find things, but it's always fun to see how they
I have this one named I Spy Carnival or I Spy Circus. I can't remember which one it is. I Spy Funhouse, maybe? And it's so difficult. I still can't find some stuff in it.
Yeah, it's like Where's Waldo?
Yeah.
Every once in a while I find one that's very tough, but sometimes it's so easy to find him that I wonder if I've memorized it from my childhood. You know, like that I just looked at it so much as a kid that I know where, my eyes know where to go.
Yeah, because once you find it, you can't, like, unfind it.
Yeah. But that's the trick, is it, so you have to find him, but then sometimes there's other stuff hidden in the pictures.
Yeah.
And so sometimes that stuff is harder to find, and I don't know if that's because of that memory or not.
They do hide, like, other stuff in the picture. It's almost like you see certain things, and it's like, man, I almost feel like I should find that, but that's not what the riddle is telling me to find. Like, sometimes, especially if it's a thematic thing, they'll put, like, the same object in every picture. Mm-hmm. Which in some cases might be two clown dolls, which in the Funhouse book it is, and it makes it really disconcerting to read sometimes. But
yeah, there was one I was reading over the holidays with my nephew, and it was Waldo has a pile of books, and on each page he loses a book. Or he drops it. I don't know if he's just very careless with his books. Mm-hmm. If he really loses it, or if he's like, done with this one, plop, and like throws it. But I was like, I'm not looking for all those books. They're tiny. There's too much going on this page. We're never going to find them all.
Sometimes you'll get fun. Like the extra pages where it's like, match the riddle to the picture. And it's like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. I just realized I have another book I can share that I read recently. The second book in a series called The Creepy Case Files of Margot Malou. This one's called The Monster Mall. So Margot Malou, I forget what the first book is called, but it's The Creepy Case Files of Margot Malou, blank, something. It's by Drew Wing, I believe is his name. And it's set in a fictional city called Echo City, where there's lots of monsters and, you know, like ghosts and vampires and other creatures that live in the city. But it seems like the parents are kind of oblivious to the fact that they exist. But Margot Malou is sort of like a private detective who helps children with various cases with regards to these monsters out there. And in the first book, she meets Charles, whose family has just moved into this old hotel and is fixing it up. And I forget what kind of creature it is, but he has some kind of creature that's like living in his closet. So that's how they meet, is when she comes to help him with that. But most of the monsters are like really friendly. They're not like evil beasts. So it's just about trying to live together in harmony. But so she's like friendly with the monsters as well. So when she's on a case, she'll sometimes go to like a local monster restaurant or bar or something and, try to get information. And so this one, part of it has to do with a mall, like a deserted mall where there's some suspected stuff going on there. And then there's also a little creature that I'm forgetting what they're called. There's like a little, I don't know if it's a goblin or a sprite or something, but it's this little guy that's causing all sorts of havoc in this house and pulls pranks on the kids. And the kids think that each of them, that they're two siblings, and they think that the other is pulling the pranks. So they both think that each other are pranksters, but it's really this little creature that lives in their house that's doing it. But then when the family moves, there's like a little baby of the creatures that moves with them accidentally and is separated from his family. So Margot Malou is also trying to get the creature back to its family. That part's cute and fun.
It's cute.
So I'm excited to see future books from this series. It's not like there's maybe a little bit of a story arc that continues through the books, but they do work as standalones as well. I feel like sometimes I read comics and I pick up the next volume and I'm like, wait, what happened last time? And it takes forever to try to remember what's happened so far in the storyline because it really matters to the new volume. Whereas I feel like in this, you can pick it up without having to worry too much about what came first.
It reminds me of a book series, which is what I'm trying to look up right now, because I can't remember the word-for-word title of it. Where is it? I think it's actually this one. There was a series of, books that went, I think in order. It was, the name of this book is Secret.
Oh, yeah.
This book is not good for you. If you're reading this, it's too late, which all sound like horror. You have to stop. This is literally just one of the names of the books by
Pseudonymous Bosch.
Bosch. Who I think I actually, in the process of looking up this, found the real name of, which is startling.
What is it?
I guess it's a guy named Raphael Simon.
I had no idea.
Yeah, that's startling. I didn't know.
He's no longer pseudonymous.
I don't know how to feel about this. Me and my dad used to read these when I was little. He'd read them to me. And I guess he has, some newer books now. Like, in 2014, he published one called Bad Magic, which I don't think is part of the other series. Mm-hmm. But I read the whole series of the name of this book is Secret. And the Secret Series is what I called it all the time because that's just easier to say.
The Secret Series.
And I remember like very, very small portions of it, but what you were talking about reminded me of it. I remember this one part where they find a homunculus, which is supposed to be...
Homunculus?
Which has, I think it has to do with alchemy. It's like when you create a small person somehow, and they find one, and it's for like one book, and I can't remember which one it was. But I remember such like small details from this book. Like if I tried to say it out loud, it'd sound like madness. But I remember such small details. Like there were these older people who were trying to find the secret to mortality, but you could tell like they weren't as young as they were because they always wore gloves. And if you saw like their hands, it would look like the hands of like an elderly person. But the rest of them looked young, like 20 something. And that's as much as I remember from these books, and I can't remember anything else. I don't even remember the main characters' names, but I loved these. I loved these books.
There was one of them that was a Battle of the Books book for the middle grade battle, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, maybe 8 years ago. I'm so bad with years. so I remember it a little bit from that because I read part of it for that battle. I remember the writing style was very
fun. I didn't
fun.
Know that was a book battle book.
It was before your time. But we don't have time to talk about the teen books, I don't think, today. But we do have time to talk about the middle school battle of the books.
Ooh.
Books that have been selected. Because we'll want to spend a little bit more time, I think, talking about the teen books. But so the Battle of the Books is a trivia battle that happens every summer for middle school and high school age students.
Mm-hmm.
And they form teams. So Amelia's on the Hudson teen team.
Yeah.
And we basically, our team will read, for the middle school, it's 5 books. For the teen battle, it's 5 books. For the middle school battle, it's 6 books. And so they'll read these books, and then they'll compete with other teams from other communities.
Mm-hmm.
And so the 6 books that were chosen for middle school battle this year are Wolf Hollow by Lauren Wolk, It Ain't So Awful Falafel by Firuza Dumas, The First Rule of Punk by Celia Perez, Ranger's Apprentice, The Ruins of Gorlon by John Flanagan, Supermax and the Mystery of Thornwood's Revenge by Susan Vaught, and Doll Bones by Holly Black.
Doll Bones?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I've only read 2 of these. I've read The First Rule of Punk, I thought was really fun, and Doll Bones by Holly Black, which was also a fun like adventure.
Doll Bones sounds intriguing.
Yeah, it's
because it has that like slightly ooh, what's that about title that Unwind did, and it makes me think, what's in this one to surprise me?
You'd have to read to find out.
Although what one chapter is gonna wreck me in this one? My school's ELA team a couple years ago actually ELA class. That sounds a lot cooler.
Go team.
Yeah. Go team. But I was in honors class, so I didn't get to do this, and I'm really sad that I didn't. But one of the other ELA classes that my friend was in, I don't want to say average ELA class, but it was just the normal ELA class, they read Unwind, and they read, like, the whole series, and they got to one of the books where I guess at one point they unveil, like, the first wound-up kid who's made completely from other children and was not born, and I'm just like, excuse me? So I guess it gets a lot crazier if you keep reading the books, but
if
I remember
you can believe it.
When my friend was reading the first book, and I was talking to her, and I was like, have you gotten to the part yet? What part? You'll know what I'm talking about. The part, the chapter, yeah. The one.
The most
it's short, but you'll understand. It really probably is probably one of the most intense chapters ever written. It's in, like, a middle school grade book, and that startles me.
So I don't think the books this year are quite as intense as Unwind was the year that we read that.
But I was lucky. I was lucky.
Yeah,
I got
you
Unwind.
Out. But if anyone out there listening is entering grade 6, or I guess entering grade 6 to 9 next school year, you're welcome to join the Hudson Middle School battle team.
Yeah.
There's also other libraries in the area that have teams as well. So if Hudson is not your zone, if you're listening from another community, check with your library and see if they're having a battle team this year.
Yeah.
But you're always welcome to join ours, even if you come from afar. Our friend Quinn, who was on Bound by Books, used to travel down from Haynes Falls to come do Bound by Books and Battle of the Books.
We might do another Battle of the Books radio show. Mm-hmm. So you might be there and you might get to talk to us.
Fun times. But anyways,
that was fun last year. That was very fun.
Yeah. We're just about out of time for today, but we hope you all have a great week and read lots of good books.
Yeah.
Happy reading.
Have fun. Bye.
Hi, it's Emily.
And Amelia.
From Bound by Books.
We're here to tell you about some of the new books coming out this week.
Or this month.
Oh, this month. yes, that other unit of time.
That we're excited about, because they sound so good. So I'll start off with one called Two Can Keep a Secret by Karen M. McManus. Echo Ridge is small town America. Ellery's never been there, but she's heard all about it. Her aunt went missing there at age 17, and only 5 years ago, a homecoming queen put the town on the map when she was killed. Now Ellery has to move there to live with a grandmother she barely knows. The town is picture perfect, but it's hiding secrets. And before school even begins for Ellery, someone has declared open season on homecoming, promising to make it as dangerous as it was 5 years ago. Then, almost as if to prove it, another girl goes missing. Ellery knows all about secrets. Her mother has them. Her grandmother does, too. And the longer she's in Echo Ridge, the clearer it becomes that everyone there is hiding something. The thing is, secrets are dangerous, and most people aren't good at keeping them, which is why in Echo Ridge, it's safest to keep your secrets to yourself.
Ooh.
Dun, dun, dun. I don't know. I would not sign up for homecoming that year.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying. But that's Two Can Keep a Secret by Karen M. McManus.
Ooh. You've got The Gilded Wolves by Roshani Chokshi, I think. That's how you pronounce the name. It says, no one believes in them, but soon no one will forget them. It's 1889. The city is on the cusp of industry and power, and the Exposition Universal has breathed new life into the streets and dredged up ancient secrets. Here, no one keeps tabs on the dark, on dark truths better than treasure hunter and wealthy hotelier Savron Montanet Allery.
Woo!
That name. When the elite, ever-powerful Order of Babel coerces him to help them on a mission, Savron is offered a treasure that he never imagined, his true inheritance. To hunt down the ancient artifact the Order seeks, Savron calls upon a band of unlikely experts, an engineer with a debt to pay, a historian banished from his home, a dancer with a sinister past, and a brother in arms, if not blood. Together they will join Savron as he explores the dark, glittering hearts of Paris. Of Paris. That explains why his name is okay. what they find may change the course of history, but only if they can stay alive.
Mm. Seems like fun.
I have scanned this entire description looking to see if there was evidence it was in France, and I found it. So
success.
This sounds really cool.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to read this.
Awesome. another one coming out this month is Let's Go Swimming on Doomsday by Natalie C. Anderson. And the description reads, when Abdi's family is kidnapped, he's forced to do the unthinkable, become a child soldier with the ruthless jihadi group Al-Shabaab. In order to save the lives of those he loves and earn their freedom, Abdi agrees to be embedded as a spy within the militia's ranks and to send dispatches on their plan to the Americans. The jihadists trust Abdi immediately because his older brother Dahir is already one of them, protege to General Idris, a.k.a. the Butcher. If Abdi's duplicity is discovered, he will be killed. For weeks, Abdi trains with them, witnessing atrocity after atrocity, becoming a monster himself, wondering if he's even pretending anymore. He only escapes after he is forced into a suicide bomber's vest, which still leaves him stumps where two of his fingers used to be, and his brother near death. Eventually, he finds himself on the streets of Sangui City, Kenya, stealing what he can find to get by, sleeping nights in empty alleyways, wondering what's become of the family that was stolen from him. But everything changes when Abdi's picked up for a petty theft, which sets into motion a chain reaction that forces him to reckon with a past he's been trying to forget. In this riveting, unflinching tale of sacrifice and hope, critically acclaimed author Natalie C. Anderson delivers another tour de force that will leave readers at the edge of their seats.
Ooh.
That one sounds intense. It's one of those descriptions where it sounds like it's explaining the entire book, but I assume it is not, which makes me wonder how full this book is of action.
I have found a book called Dragon Pearl